This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Matt Roy from the Boston Herald. Matt, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us here on a beautiful New England weekend.
It's a beautiful day, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. Yes, it is. Matt,
has your brain recovered from last night yet?
Oh, man. That was a bizarre game. I don't think the stories can really reflect kind of how bizarre it was. And there were like three or four games all within one game, to be kind of honest with you, right? And so I got you on the line here because I want you to share with us your take on the game in the sense that there was a lot on the line for both of these two teams, whether they were going to take it to the next level in the season. And I think both teams, you know, presented themselves. Let's go right there first. I think both teams played some solid football last night. There were some mistakes, there's no doubt about it, but each team moved the football, each team came up with good defensive plays, each team blew some defensive plays, to be quite honest with you. But man, I had not seen John Naske from Classical, and I've never seen Brian Vaughn throw like he did last night, as you mentioned, what, over 400 yards. And then on the other hand, I had not seen the size and skill level in Salem this year. I'd not seen them this year. So there was a lot of takeaways out of that game moving forward.
How many times, Bill, do you see a game where a quarterback throws a 409 yards, five touchdowns, doesn't throw an interception, they don't turn the ball over, and they lose? They score 44 points and lose. I mean, I can't remember. That does not happen very often.
You know, Matt, I should look this up to be sure, but they get 44 points, but they missed every extra point attempt, two-point conversion attempt, other than one in the game last night. Does that sound right to you? I'm talking about Classical, yeah.
Yeah, I believe they didn't make any of them, and Salem made two of them.
Yeah.
And that was the difference in the game.
Well, that would account for it mathematically. You're right here. But, yeah, I got seven lead changes in that game, all in the second half, because the first half was just six, then I'll get six, you get six, I'll get six, blah, blah, blah. And it was back and forth like that. And man, what a football game! You know, I wanted to get this out there, and I don't mean this, but in the press box, you know, there are guys working the clock, the PA, other reporters. Nick Giannino was obviously there from the Salem News, and you know, at one point, a game starts at 5:00. We think we're going to get out of there not too late on a Friday night, but it turned out to be those two teams had other plans for us and made sure that's all we were doing Friday night. But man, we were rewarded with an incredible finish with Classical scoring late with less than 4 minutes to go to take the lead. And then Salem comes back with 13 seconds to win it.
I mean, we knew Classical scored with 3 minutes ago, and I'm sitting there watching Salem going down the field the last drive. And I keep looking at the clock, and in my head I'm going, they need to go faster here.
Yes.
They need to go faster. They need to try to throw the ball a little bit. Because they kept trying to run it down the field and run it down the field and run it down the field. Finally, Corey Grimes hit the two big passes back-to-back, and all of a sudden the whole momentum changed at the end of that drive.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. And, you know, I think I'm thinking the same thing. I mean, they were stalled. So this 80-yard drive to win the game started, obviously, at their own 20. And I'm thinking, like, the first 2.5 minutes of the 3.5 minutes they had, a little over 3.5 minutes, where they still hadn't gotten out to their own 40. You know what I'm saying?
It just felt that way. It was like they were. I understand what Matt Bouchard was trying to do. He was trying to either win the game or lose the game on that possession, because you didn't want that Classical offense to have another chance. But my Lord, I felt like they were taking too much time at points.
Yeah. Well. But they had their timeouts. They used them wisely. But here's the thing, Matt, is I'm thinking, I you know, at the end of the game, that winning touchdown was was on third down, but they were out of timeouts. So if they didn't score on that play, they wouldn't have had time, I don't think, to come back and spike. Well, they couldn't spike the football because it would have been fourth down. So, I mean, that was the last chance for them. It was third down, but that was really their last chance to score, and they score on the pass play from Corey Grimes to Albert Pujols.
Well, I'm watching Grimes go back to throw, and he's dropping back. He's rolling to the right. He's rolling to the right, and I'm going, what's he doing here? And then I see him throw the ball, and honestly, I said, and I didn't know I said it out loud in the press box, I said he was throwing it away. And then all of a sudden you look up and there's two receivers there. And you go, where did they come from? Because I honestly thought he was throwing it out of the back of the end zone.
No, and I think that's a good, that's perceptive in the sense that because of what I just said is that they needed to stop the clock if they wanted another play at it. You're right. Pujols came out of nowhere. They were saying that he adjusted his route and Grimes was looking for another receiver at that time. But and then the catch, as we mentioned, kind of almost over the shoulder, you know, kind of reaching up and just keeping his toes inbounds right on the sidelines in the about halfway into the end zone on the right.
I mean, I know I said it. I thought live he got his feet in, and then you listen to Brian Vaughn after the game. He says he didn't get in, but that was such a close call. And without the benefit of having replay, you're judging that in a split second decision. And yeah, and the ref was standing right there looking at it, so you have to trust he saw the right call.
Yeah, I thought he had his feet in too. But again, as razor close as you're going to get in a high school football game. When have you seen a play like that, Matt, in a high school, in a high school football game? Lately.
I can go back maybe when Todd Collier was at St. Mary's, same end zone, same end of the field, in an overtime game against Arlington Catholic. He was stopped maybe a millimeter short of the goal line, and it looked for all the world like he had scored a touchdown, but the referee was standing right there and said he didn't get in. So that's really the only one I can come up with that even is remotely close to that.
Matt, you've covered classical football, Lynn football. You've covered North Shore football. You know the history of the Salem football program. Put that win in perspective for us in the sense that, again, Salem had not beaten classical in 19 years. And, I think it was so important for classical, too, because this is a game they wanted against what turned out as Salem to be a very good team. And, again, I say that in the sense that I had not seen Salem this year, but everything I'd heard about Salem is from people watching them as these guys are for real. And even doing a feature with the coach and the players earlier this year, they're also confident in themselves. And they have a right to be after what we saw last night, for sure. But put it in, how do you put this into perspective for both of these programs?
It's a game. You look at Lynn Classical, they were 4-1 coming into the game, but if you looked at the power rankings, they were outside the top 16, so you felt like it's a game they had to win everything out to maybe have a chance to make it and get some breaks above them. And now they're in a very delicate situation as Lynn Classical, because now you don't know, is there enough on their schedule the last two games to help them work their way up into that top 16? Conversely, you look at a Salem team, and I don't think people are going to take the wrong way when I say this, Bill, but for a long time, they weren't very good for a long while. Matt Bouchard has come in, and he's done a fantastic job of turning that program with these kids, in this group of kids especially, into a team that I don't want to play them if I'm somebody. Because they could score with anybody.
Yeah, and it's also, I still want to say that there are a lot of people that I'm sure listening to this that have not seen Salem play. And so how do you describe this Salem team? Well, let me just back up and go to Classical, because you were talking about them too. But Classical, I could not believe the skill. Let's just mention these three guys. Brian Vaughn, John Naske, and R.J. Fessler, the last two being receivers. The skills that those guys, that trio has, I mean, how many perfect throws did Vaughn have last night? And finding guys wide open, albeit wide open, but it was not easy to get the ball from off of, from where he was to where it ended up. He had some fantastic throws, and as you mentioned, over 400 yards of passing. So, I mean, the skill level there was just incredible.
Well, what did Matt Bouchard say to us during when we were talking to him after the game? He was taking four of his defensive backs and playing them on those two guys, and they were still getting open.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They needed to put six back there. That's a good – I mean, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Then on the – go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
With Salem, don't envy defense is trying to stop Corey Grimes. A quarterback that weighs 245 pounds coming at you that can run and throw, good luck.
Yeah, they got, I don't have my roster in front of me here. I'm not well prepared, I guess, for you, Matt. But you got Rocco Ryan, Corey Grimes, Albert Pujols, the Zuno guy, the runner. These guys have all had big games this year for Salem. And they all, they all played a huge role, I think. And I, you know, all these guys take defense, you know, take some of that classical defense attention to them. And yeah, they mixed up that offense, you know, very well last night. And they, you know, Matt, too, they also looked like they had some advantage, you know, their line of scrimmage play offensively was pretty much all that they could hope for, to be quite honest with you, just enough to win. But they had some size up front, and that they had a big team.
Well, I go back. Matt Bouchard was the offensive coordinator at Bishop Fenwick when they were winning Super Bowls. And you look at that Salem team, and you can draw a lot of similarities between what he did at Bishop Fenwick with what he had to work with and what he's doing now. It's a lot of the same type of kids. Big, strong, and some fast kids.
Yeah, Matt, obviously an outstanding coach. And I think, it's just kind of clicked this year. It's an interesting, he mentioned this is a unique group of athletes that he has on this year's team. He mentioned that after the game as well. And, you know, I think he's right. I mean, this is, you know, I went over and met a lot of them the other day, a few weeks ago. But I think it's going to turn out that this is a unique team, the Salem team of kids and skills.
Well, it was very telling, Bill. When I asked him the question 2 or 3 years ago, does this team win this game? His answer to us was very indicative of the way this team is now. When he flat out said to us, no, we probably don't win this game a year ago or 2 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah, I hear you. Now, I'm just going to look ahead to this Friday night. I was looking at this game, doing the schedules, and I'm thinking this is Salem's next game is what I'm referring to at Winthrop this coming Friday. I'm thinking, will this be a big game or not? And I absolutely yes. I mean, Winthrop is a solid program. They don't have a lot of weaknesses, this will be a big test for Salem playing on a road, kind of a back-to-back test for them in Northeastern Conference play.
Is it ever easy going to Miller Field?
We got to remember now, too, Peabody got out of there with a 24-7 win just Thursday night earlier this week. And, you know, I think some people might have said, Peabody's undefeated. They're now 6-0. They might win by another touchdown. And but, you know, this Winthrop team is, they don't have a lot of holes on defense. And they just couldn't get their offense on track. But they played, defensively. They were pretty solid. Having said that, though, this Peabody team is a skilled unit now. They're getting it together. And they have a sophomore quarterback who is getting it done along. He has some weapons with him. So Peabody hopefully will go a long ways here on the North Shore. But again, I can't say enough about Winthrop. And I'm just so impressed with both Classical and Salem out of last night's game.
I mean, you feel for Lynn Classical because it's a game where you did everything right to win it and you didn't win it. So how do you respond from that, knowing you've got two games left to try to make the playoffs?
Yeah, no,
it will be a good gut check for them this week to see if they can come back against Revere.
Yeah, and then they have Everett the following week in Greater Boston League play. So, Matt, anything? What other games are you kind of looking at here? You know, you go beyond the North Shore with your role with the Herald for sure, but what's catching your eye? Obviously, we have CM and the Prep this coming Saturday, 1 week from this weekend, in an afternoon game at the Prep. But what else is catching your eye?
That's not an interesting game, is it? nothing good there, right?
Nah, whatever.
Nah. Well, I mean, you look around and there's just so many good football teams. Some teams around here are down this year, the Marbleheads of the world. But the teams you expect to have been good, they're good. You just mentioned Peabody. I think everybody and their brother thought losing Shea Lynch, losing Danny Barrett, losing everything they did last year, with as good as they were going to take a step back. Well, funny enough, I don't think they've taken a step back. They may actually have taken a step forward, being 6-0. And did people realize they've won 22 of their last 23 games? Did people know that?
I did not know that, no.
Their only loss is to Bishop Feen in the first round of the playoffs last year, in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I really like this Peabody team, too, the way it's constructed, because they've you know, they've got some they've got speed. The defense has been good, you know, from start to finish. Well, I kind of touched on this earlier, Matt, but Peabody played host to Classical earlier this year. And it was early in the year, and I think Classical was trying to get things together. But Classical led at the half 8-0 against Peabody. Now, Peabody's also, as you mentioned, putting a lot of new parts into this 2023 team from last year's very successful team. And it was very tight through three quarters, and then Peabody put it together. But again, in that game, too, I really liked the way I was seeing defenses attack their opponents, both Classical and Peabody. And now, you know, I think we saw it again last night with this Classical team. But you're right. This is an interesting Peabody team, too, that, again, I don't think a lot of people expected.
No, I mean, and you could have understood that with you lose an all-state quarterback in Shea Lynch, you lose most of your receiving core, you lose the bulk of your front line defensively. You'd expect they'd take a step back. But when I talked to Eli Batista for a story we did in the Herald on Friday, he said people just didn't realize how good the backups that they had were because they didn't see them. Well, now they're seeing them.
Well, I think case in point, too, is it's so hard. You know, you've covered football for a number of years, as I have, Matt, and, you know, there are not a lot of programs that can sustain winning over, you know, let's say a decade, okay? So this we're reaching way ahead here, but those programs would include the Winthrop teams, the Classical teams, the Gloucester teams, you know, back in the 80s, the Beverly teams and other times as well. And I'm leaving a lot of teams out, don't get me wrong, but you're right. This was a nice reload effort for Peabody High School, and obviously you know, I think a note, you know, you got programs like St. John's Prep that are always going to be competitive. By the way, I saw them last week, Matt, against St. John's of Shrewsbury, and, you know, their offense was okay. Coach St. Pierre knows that he's got to get that offense going a little bit better, but their defense was solid, and they can fly to the football, and defense wins championships, you know, big part of winning championships. And so this game next week against Central Catholic, Catholic Memorial, excuse me, will be a good one.
Yeah, we're going to see how good St. John's is next Saturday when next week when they host CM, because yeah, CM has lost some players because of injury. They're still good. They're still legitimately the best team in the state, according to most people.
Yeah, you know, you look at games, and I really thought there were a bunch of games here on the North Shore that were legit toss-ups this weekend. And, of course, Classical Salem, I thought, was one of them, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, I think Peabody, you know, if we started the year, we would have thought, yeah, we got some toss-up games coming up this year. Who knows? But they've changed that a little bit in what they've been able to accomplish. All right, Matt, anything else on this Classical Salem game? You know, again, how on the clock, how long did that game actually go on the clock on the wall, if you will? It was like...
I feel like we were there for 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I know by the time I got down to the field back to my car, it was after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, right. So a game starts at 5 o'clock. So it's 3 hours, yeah. So that's... I got that math right? Yeah, okay.
I mean, in our line of work, that's called a deadline buster, as they say. I mean, it was like sitting in my car rushing to get a story filed in like 15 minutes. That was not fun.
Matt, you know, it's funny. You know, we had Joey Barrett there from The Item and Nick Giannino from the Salem News. And, you know, when I'm sitting with you guys, you know, we talk about deadlines and different things. Tell us as a writer, what is it that you're trying to do from the fourth quarter to the post-game interviews and then to write the story? Do you, like, put out, like, 4 or 5 key things that you think have got to be in the game and then sort it out as you write it? Because you don't have a lot of time to really think this through and rewrite and all of that.
Well, as we were, you heard us talking about sitting there in the fourth quarter, we were sitting going, where do we begin? And ultimately, you couldn't even touch on the first half of that game because of the way the third quarter and the fourth quarter went. You kind of just had to gloss over the first half and deal with what happened in that insanely crazy second half where everybody was scoring left and right.
Yeah, and we mentioned about the being multiple games in one game, but that first half, you could not have asked for a, I guess solid but yet not exciting first half. How about that? Albeit there were exciting plays in that first half, but like we said, it's up six, then tied six, up six, then tied six, up six, then tied six for, you know, to get to 18-18 at the half. And yet the second half, different story.
Well, you knew right from the start of the third quarter when you look up at the scoreboard and all of a sudden the teams have scored 32 points and 34 points and five touchdowns. And it's like, okay, where are we going from here?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Matt.
I can tell you this, Bill. Writing my story, if you read the lead to my story in the Herald today, I didn't come up with that lead until I literally sat down in my car and started typing my thinking about how to type the story. That I did not have a lead for the story until I literally sat down to write about that.
Yeah.
That tells you how crazy it can be to put a story together sometimes. I did not have that lead in my head until I started writing.
And what was your lead? The thing about Brian Vaughn with 400 and something yards?
And Corey Grimes having the final say.
Yeah, you're right, exactly.
I did not come up with that until I literally sat down to start to write the story.
You know,
that
Matt,
tells you how crazy it can be for us sometimes.
But you know what caught me, Matt, is when I saw that, I saw it from your Twitter account today. I said, "That's it. That you just captured that game." To be quite honest with you, and it's hard to do that. But it was just two sentences. But you really captured it, and it's like it was what I'm thinking. But you captured it, and that was I thought it was a terrific lead.
And thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. It's just sometimes you sit down as a writer, you're trying to figure out, how am I going to structure this? Because you don't have the room to tell everything that happened with only so much space in the paper. So you have to figure out, all right, how am I going to get somebody's attention right off the bat? And that just kind of happened to be what came up out of my head.
Yeah, and you mentioned the hurt that Klasko might feel after that game. You can't hurt anybody more than what just happened to him Friday night, in the sense that you're right. The 400 yards of passing, and giving up a last second touchdown. I mean, that's a textbook hurtful football loss, if you ask me.
Absolutely. And now you find out what kind of stomach and heart the kids are going to have this week, because you can let it get away now if you're not careful, if you're classical, or do you fight back? You still have something to play for, hopefully, in the playoffs. And can you respond to the adversity here?
Yeah. I'll tell you, if I was in the tournament, I would not want to be facing Classical. You know, how these seedings are going to be breaking down. That is, you know, they're probably not going to get the points that they deserve, but yet on the power rankings. But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to be facing them, that's for sure.
No, I wouldn't want to try to stop those guys at all.
All right. Well, Matt, I'm going to let you go here and enjoy the rest of the day. You probably have apple picking planned, or maybe carving a pumpkin or something like that. Maybe doing a floral arrangement with a fall theme, if you will. But I'll let you go and do that for the rest of the day.
If grocery shopping with your wife counts, that's what I'm going to go do.
Oh, man. Well, get something pumpkin spiced, or you know what I'm saying? Do something like that. Enjoy the fall.
Trying.
Matt Roy with us from the Boston Herald here on MSONewsSports.com.